Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1970. The album is Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers. The artist, of course, well, maybe not of course, if you don't know, is the Firesign Theater. My guest this week is Tommy Edison. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be.
Via Skype, of course.
Of course.
Let's tell the people a little bit, because this is the first time when anybody with your unique experience of an album is going to be able to talk with us on the podcast. So let's talk about what you do. You're a film reviewer, but...
Yeah, I review movies, and I also have another YouTube channel called the Tommy Edison XP channel.
Yes.
Where I talk about my life. I talk about, life as a blind person, because I am blind since birth, and... You know, my handle is the blind film critic. That's what people know me as on the internet. I do movie reviews and stuff. And then the other channel is just answering questions from YouTube viewers about my life. Things as easy as how do you know whether or not you're awake or asleep?
Right, right.
Or to things like, can you just, what does color mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or, can you cook food by yourself? Or we had a video that went very viral a couple of weeks ago about, can I draw?
Yes.
And so I drew a bunch of things. I drew a kitty and a car and a self-portrait and stuff. And, people really seem to enjoy that one. So it's been great fun. It's been a nice ride.
I that might have been the one that honestly turned me on to. I wish I'd have known about your movie reviews before. So pardon my ignorance. But in watching, it was the XP channel, actually. I saw on your back wall, I do not recall the album off the top of my head, but you had a comedy album hanging back there. I'm like, you know what? This is a perspective we've never, ever tackled before. Because I can say something sounds super realistic all I want, but I've got the extra sense to distract me. So why did you pick Don't Crush That Dwarf?
You know what? It's for many reasons. I think it's probably the first Firesign stuff I ever really heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the one I quote the most. I mean, always crack them all. It's from the, 10-4, Eleanor, it's just the Department of Redundancy Department, things like this. I just quote it all the time. And, it's a strange album. It's, because he's sort of watching himself on television all night and aging. It's very weird, but I like it. And there's all sorts of announcers in it and game show, but there's a little bit of everything on it. There really is.
Yeah. And that was the other thing too, is this is the first, because the first album I ever heard of Firesigns was How Can You Be in Two Places at Once When You're Not Anywhere at All. Some people call it the Marx Lennon album because there's Groucho Marx and John Lennon on the cover.
Yeah.
Which is a great album, but when I heard it, I was 13. That's not the time to be hearing Firesign for the first, at least for me, wasn't. My brain just couldn't, I could not process it. And then I hear Don't Crush That Dwarf for the first time on this podcast. My buddy Jeremy Guskin introduced it to me 4, maybe 5 years ago at this point. And I re-listening to it today, I'm like, I don't remember any of this. So I was just as dumb then when I was 30 as I was when I was 12 about this stuff. But today, all of a sudden, just shit starts popping out at you,
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Firesign. I love those guys. I mean, so, I heard that album, and then I heard, How Can You Be in Two Places at Once, also Waiting for the Electrician.
Sure.
Of course, Everything You Know Is Wrong. See, I could have went with that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many good... I guess I heard people do comedy in the studio a little bit, like Cheech and Chong did some studio comedy records,
sure,
right? Where
sure.
they did some bits and some, with sound effects and Foley to make it, like that Pedro and the Man at the Drive-In from Los Cochinos,
mm-hmm.
right? Or like Sister Mary Elephant, things like this, and that stuff was great, but the Firesign Theater was a little bit more heady, there was a little bit more, the more you listen to it, the more you got the gags, I think is another one of the things that I really liked about that record, too.
That is exactly my point. And the problem I have is I do not have the luxury of time I used to have. So I'm half the time listening to these on the way to work or on the way back. And that's horrible. So this is why I've actually kind of dedicated to giving myself more time to listen to Firesign. Like tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Waiting for the Electrician with Phil Proctor. So I kind of really have to prepare.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to side five.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's just those little, I mean, I guess that's not little, but they're just the surreality of it mixed with, like you say, the headiness of it, but also mixed with the fact that these guys love old-time radio and also don't care if they make a shitty pun.
No, they don't. Oh, they love the crappy pun. They're big fans of them. They, you know, it's tremendous.
And I
also like them. You know, I'm a big fan. So, I mean, you've seen the videos, right? I'm
always with,
you know, the odd pun and the, mm-hmm. you know, stretching for one. You know, I love that. That's what comedy's all about.
I do too. Like, and I just love that these guys can mix it with this really strange form of satire that nobody else has done before or since.
No, it's absolutely right. And, you know, there's been other people who've done comedy in the studio as well. But, you know, Firesign, those guys, Procter & Bergman, man, they nailed it. They just nailed it.
Even
the newer stuff that came out in the 90s, like, was it Shoplifters, You're Getting Away with Values. You know, it's great. It's great.
What I always do, well, not always, but lately have tried more to do is go down track by track on an album. But the two tracks on this album are entitled This Side and The Other Side. So
yeah.
Really, that's not, tracks aren't going to help you. So stories are going to help you. Jokes are going to, so like, what's the stuff that stands out most to you?
Boy, there's some, well, all that television stuff. I mean, flipping around the channels, watch, well, first off, we never got that many channels when I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
right? And, you know, but I love all the television stuff. I mean, there's, you know, there's preachers, right? There's, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, some preachers and stuff. There's a game show. There's like the news, all these crazy things, and the political commercials. Just all, it, I mean, and a soap opera
mm-hmm.
is running in the. Don't you remember what you told her at the lake last summer? I forget the name. Who's Carol or whatever it is? Uh-huh. It's wonderful. Yeah, so and there's a million great voices on it. They do great female voices too.
They do.
I forget who does them, but the female voices are I've only ever heard a couple of guys do great female voices. The other one would be a guy by the name of Phil Hendry, who's on the radio.
Yeah.
Who does incredible, his women voices are they're so real. They're great.
Yeah, it's a stretch, like, as a sort of voice artist myself, that's one of the things where I've always struggled. I don't have that deep a voice, but also it takes a lot more nuance to do it than people realize.
Oh yeah, it's tricky. I mean, you know, Billy West also does good women. He does great female voices.
My God, you just brought up my hero, my absolute hero. That's absolutely true. He does, and again, it's all that nuance. It's growing up listening to, you know, stuff like this that he specifically said he didn't listen to much Firesign, but like growing up to stuff that was similar. To this, like, these guys are just consummate voice artists on top of being really funny and really intellectual.
Yeah. Yep. So it's, you know, so that's, and that was it. And I was, you know, I was a kid when I discovered this stuff. I had heard it on, there was some, back in the old days, there used to be actual comedy programs on the radio. There was a non-com in New York, a non-commercial, one of those Pacifica stations that used to run a comedy show every Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm in like junior high school, you know, staying up all night listening to these people on the radio, because there was no, you couldn't record 6 hours of radio back in those days.
Sure.
They had to stay up. So, you know, I figured, what the hell? I'll have a nice time at night and I'll sleep through class. Who cares? And that's what I did.
Were they playing just cuts off of albums like this, or entire albums? Like, what kind of stuff
They would play some cuts, and they would have some people, and they would do their own stuff too. And, you know, and then take phone calls and stuff, and play some comedy records. And, you know, it was just a nutty show, but there's nothing like that on the radio anymore. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Did you, here's a question, because half the time when we're talking about vinyl, we go down this road that is way too often, it's overtread at this point. But the idea of, hey, it's the experience of touching it, of feeling it, and of looking at the cover art and stuff. So obviously we got to remove a couple of those bits and pieces for you. But I mean, do you care at all in terms of like having a physical album? Does it matter to you at all?
Well, I mean, there's things about a record that are wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. first, you remove that shrink wrap, and then you slide the record in the sleeve out.
Sure.
And there's that smell, right? It's just that new record smell. It's wonderful. And then there's a little static electricity sometimes that comes off when you slide it out of there, especially if they're like those Deutsche Grammophon records and stuff. Remember, they come in the inner sleeve of plastic on the inside?
Oh, right, yeah.
you know, those classical records and stuff. I bought a Beethoven set one time, and I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the smell and just the feel of a record, and then of course the sound. I mean, because digital smashes everything up, doesn't it? It just mushes it all together, and there's no room for anything to breathe. Whereas on a piece of vinyl, you know, it's got all the room in the world. It can just stretch out and be big, giant, and warm and rich and everything. So yeah, I really do. I do not own a record player, and I'll be honest with you, I left all my vinyl on the curb for the junk man to take. I didn't know what to do with it. So I know. But I had tons and tons of it, and a lot of comedy on vinyl too. I had, you know, all the Monty Python stuff, and sure, of course the Fire Sign. Couple of Cheech and Chong albums, you know, and then things like that. Remember that Albert Brooks record that came out? He did one studio album.
Yeah, well, he did one's a mix and the other one is, I think, all, he did A Star Is Bought, which is all studio, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. And I think Charlie Van Dyke is on that. He's the announcer.
Yeah. And then the other one was, my brain just completely shut off. We've talked about it twice on this damn show, and it's a mix of stand-up and studio stuff, but it is actually mostly stand-up.
Yeah, that's the one where he does the Star Spangled Banner, right? All the different national anthems and stuff.
Yes.
Just genius. Absolutely genius. Albert, see, you know, and this was hard, too, to talk about, Jason, because there's so much great stuff that was put out, you know?
Sure.
So it was really hard to pick. I mean, I could have went for National Lampoon's That's Not Funny, That's Sick.
Sure.
You know, so many, you know, so much good stuff.
Do you have a preference for, do you have a preference for different types of sketch? Do you like the heavily produced, I mean, what in terms of, like, sound effects, like, what's the kind of thing that grabs you?
I like it when it sounds pretty real, you know, like nice stereo effects, you know, when something sounds big and it moves around the speakers, right? That's always fun. Just, you know, just like in a film, when you hear a big giant audio on television or in the movies, it's great. So, you know, I like that, and I like it when it sounds real. I like, on Fireside stuff, there's stuff hidden in the other, you know, there's something happening in one channel, and there's a joke in the other.
Right.
And you have to sort of split your hearing to, you know, to not miss anything.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing. It's like, and that was another reason why listening to this distracted is just a horrible idea. You just cannot, because there's an entire script. All that's occurring to me is, oh, these guys wrote an entire script for what's happening on the radio, and we're only supposed to be concentrating on that radio for about a minute, maybe 2 minutes, and then meantime, we're listening to this other guy just putter around his friggin' apartment for a lot, you know what I mean? It's just, oh my God.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, I mean, I think that's the thing I liked about it. It's just, you know, and as I was sort of discovering and learning about comedy and how to be funny and stuff, but those guys, I learned a lot from them, you know, just about puns like we were talking about before and, you know, stretching for a joke and the esoteric reference that maybe not everybody gets and stuff. So yeah. It taught me a ton about comedy.
Did you go ahead? Sorry.
No, I was just going to go ahead. That's because I was going to go somewhere else. But
okay, it's probably a dumb question, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, have you ever sat down and listened to this and been like, shit, I need to do research, like, because I feel that way half the time listening to their references that might be just before my time.
Some of the stuff, you know, some of the jokes I don't really get, you know, some actress or somebody that they'll mention. I'm not quite sure who that is, but I get most of it, you know, and like yesterday, for example, so I hadn't listened to this album in a long time as well.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down for, you know, 46 minutes yesterday and just enjoyed it. And it's, you know, it still makes me smile. And I laugh in all different places and stuff. And with something like that, you can laugh in the wrong spots, or people would think it's the wrong spots, you
right.
know. It's funny to you, and that's all right. You know, that's the other thing I like about it, too. And I like this about television as well. I like a comedy show without a laugh track.
Sure.
Right? So they, you know, I choose when to laugh. So it's not sort of fed to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the Bernie Mac show was great like that, or Malcolm in the Middle.
Sure, yeah.
You know, Fox did a lot of shows like that without the laugh track. You know, and that's one of the things I like about Fireside. Although they did do a couple of live recordings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing too is like I don't know, I'm not as familiar with that stuff, so I can't imagine their dynamic at all, like and how that changes.
Yeah, well I guess they had a radio show up in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and so like the Dear Friends album is all excerpts from that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is one live album that I never really cared for much, but like 40 Unclaimed Melodies is on that, and a couple of other things. But yeah, it's, you know, I love me some Fire Sign. They're just, oh, just make me laugh.
Is there, what's, man, well, asking what's the most quotable part of this album is impossible, but, like, is there stuff that stands out to you in terms of, like, characters, or is it more quotes? Because, like, that's my part with it. Like, I feel like the quotes stand out to me the most in this.
Me too. Me too. I, you know, I hear something like, harder work for everyone, and more of it, too, you know, and it's... It gets me every time, you know. Or this is you, TV, for you, the viewer. It's like,
and there's something really gleeful about the fact, like, they know they're playing with words. They want you to hear them playing with words. It's just, it's very, like I say, it is. It's very playful at the same time. While if you want to take your time to think about it, there's probably a lot more going on than you know anybody realizes.
Absolutely right. I mean, you know, you're going to have a good time when you talk to them, you know, and you're doing a different album. You're doing Waiting for the Electrician, but holy, there's lots to talk about on that record. There's a ton. You're going to have a good time. I can't wait to hear that podcast.
I'm excited. What's so funny is here's what we were supposed to do. Now, we did one with him. He's been on the podcast before, and then a month or two ago, he was on, and he said, well, I don't know if I can talk a whole hour about one album. Let's do the first three. And I said, okay, well, at the end of an hour... we got up to just about to them recording Waiting for the Electrician. I'm like, Phil, I knew it. I knew we would not be able to squeeze three. So we're just doing an hour on every Fire Sign album. And, you know, over the next probably year, because it takes a while to schedule these things. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun listening to him tell us how that thing got made. I mean, last episode, I think he told us the origin of where Waiting for the Electrician as a phrase came from. So these little bits of trivia are a lot of fun. And then him telling just crazy personal stories is just fun because he's very forthcoming.
It's nice. I can't wait to hear these. I'll be looking forward to them.
So did you grew up in New York?
No, I grew up in Connecticut, just outside of New York. I don't know if you're familiar with the area at all, but you know, up here, it's called the Tri-State area.
Yes, sir.
And, we're the third state in the tri-state. It's New York, New Jersey, and then there's Connecticut. Yeah. Long Island gets more play than we do.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. Connecticut's nothing. They only talk about Connecticut on New York radio and television if something horrible happens up here. Otherwise, you know, we're nothing.
Or if they're talking about a television person's actual home or vacation home, it's always
Connecticut. Well, that's right. Well, that's right. You know, they got a nice home in Greenwich.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So what's – can you recall the first comedy album you ever heard?
Boy, you know, I'll tell you what. I think it was Bob Newhart's – what was it? Button Down Mine?
Sure.
Because my mother really enjoyed comedy as well. My mother was a great fan of comedy, loved it. And I learned a lot about comedy from her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the old Greenwich Library, I actually grew up in Greenwich, and, the Greenwich Library was wonderful. They had a nice record collection and you could take them out and bring them home for a couple of weeks, you know? So that's why I heard some Bob Newhart stuff. I actually heard Firesign before I ever bought it. I took it out from there to, you know, to listen to Don't Crush That Dwarf and Bozos and, How Can You Be in Two Places and all that stuff. But yeah, I think the Bob Newhart stuff was really the first stuff I ever heard. And it was, I love that, you know, because his bit is doing all those, you know, the half of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny, you know, and he's a marvelous. He just makes me laugh every time. Still to this day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and like Albert Brooks is another one who could just read the phone book to me and make me laugh, you know?
Is there something about, like, do you, I mean, again, it sounds like it's great that you're studying comedy as much as I would hope, given the glee and joy with which you do your shows. You're very funny, and, like, watching them, I'm just like, oh, I could just watch this all day. Is there something about that you're drawn to in terms of voice? Is it a particular... like, is it rhythm? Is it quality of voice? Is it timbre? Like, I feel like you've probably broken it down maybe more than I would.
No, I'm not sure about that. I think I like somebody's voice. It's so simply as to the way something is mic'd. There's that, what's that Andrew Dice Clay record? The Day the Laughter Stopped or The Day the Laughter Died, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I love the way the audience is mic'd in that. It's
okay.
Very cool because it feels like you're in it. You know, it's all around you and stuff. It's very well put together. The Mitch Hedberg album was done like that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice production. So something even that simple can sort of draw me in and get me to listen to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it's a legend like Bob Newhart, I had always seen the television show and never knew he made comedy records.
Yeah.
You know, and then my mom's like, well, you got to hear this. You have a nice time. And those were recorded in sort of bigger rooms, mm-hmm. you know, where they were having drinks and stuff. He had a lot of clinking glass and things. Robert Klein was another one. I really liked him a lot. He was one of the first guys I ever heard. And Robert Klein, strangely enough, I learned how to play the harmonica from listening to him.
Really?
That was sort of my beginning of it. Because, you know, he used to do bits about, you know, they could just put a harmonica in somebody's mouth and you'd know if the patient was alive or not. And just breathing in and out, you know. And he started to play the blues and I was like, hey, I think I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I actually got to see Robert Klein live one time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's a funny thing. Is like you heard my reaction. It's very visceral. But I'm only familiar with Robert Klein's stand-up within the last like year and a half. But it still holds up so well.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. I mean, I haven't listened to it in a long. And that's funny. We're talking about this. I should check out like Apple Music and listen to some old Robert Klein. Like the New Teeth album was hilarious.
Yeah,
that's a great record. Young People's Guide to the Orchestras on that. And that whole big long thing about going to the dentist and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And you know, people are still freaked out by the dentist to this very day.
Of course. What are your thoughts on like a mix, like a stand-up sketch mix album? There's not a lot of those, but I mean Albert Brooks did it.
I think, you know, it's fine. I, you know, you can do whatever you like as long as it's funny. I'm sure. Cool, you know what I mean? It's you know, as long as it works and it's fun to listen to. That's, you know, that's what I like. I mean, you know, you got to remember, as a kid, I really did listen to everything comedy I could get my hands on. I was a big Dr. Demento fan back in the old days.
Wonderful.
You know, I loved him. And he taught me a lot about music, too, because he'd play these oddball records from, like, you know, 1893 or some weird, you know, from 1907, you know, Dimensions and Dementites, you know. You know, so you put that together with, you know, my love of radio and doing, you know, the YouTube videos as well. So, you know, you get a, you know, somebody who's nuts, you know, like, I like to have fun and I like to see, I think that's the thing. I'm taking the long way around here, but I, you know, I love for people to make me laugh and boy, I love to make people laugh too.
Well, I mean, it might seem like the simplest response, but it's, here's the thing, like, I can sit and analyze comedy all day and about what it means, and but it there again, there is something to watching your videos, like the sheer glee with which A, you get a big kick out of yourself, and I always appreciate that when somebody knows that they're funny. I'm fine with it. That never bugs me. But you find so much joy in I don't know, like the questions that people's curiosity. I'm the kind of person where I feel like if people had enough curiosity about my life perspective, I might be annoyed as hell. So, I mean, the fact that it's still fresh to you or you're keeping it fresh is remarkable.
Well, you have to remember, too, that I've been blind my whole life, so mm-hmm. I'm quite used to this. Now, my whole life, people have asked all sorts of questions.
Sure.
And so to do it on YouTube is quite fun, and it's sometimes very therapeutic because there are things that I've never really tried to, you know, I would maybe address it for a minute and then go on, but, mm-hmm. you know, to sit and make a video about it and try and explain things, you know, like what color means to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the confusion that comes with it, how, you know, the sky and the ocean are both blue, and then, you know, people come back with, well, you know, the ocean is reflected off of this, so therefore it's, I'm like, ooh, boy, you know,
yeah.
But like, that's one of those things that I'll never be able to get my head around. But conversely, you will never be able to get your head around my world and what it is like not to see.
Of course.
You have no idea. So it's really neat to try and, you know, explain that to each other and have a little fun and a few laughs while we do it, you know?
Yeah. It makes me think. So when we covered this album the first time, my buddy Jeremy, again, introduced me to it, and he said that his experience with it was his dad made him listen to it, and he couldn't wrap his head around it. His only solution was to lay on the floor, eyes closed, with a pair of headphones on, and just go to town. Just listen to it that way. That was the only way he could make any sense of it. And
that's a great suggestion. Because you're not distracted anymore. See, this is what I talk about in my movie reviews too. I'm not distracted by all the beautiful people and the cinematography mm-hmm. and the beautiful, you know, I'm into the story. I'm yeah. all in for the story. And if it's a good story and it's well acted and well told and well put together and everything, I'm in, mm-hmm. totally in. But if it's, you know, some jive, you know, pardon me, but I don't really care for these, you know, the CGI superhero movies.
yeah.
There's, you know, there's not much to worry. It's all just fun to look at and it's a treat for the eyes and, you know, the rest of your senses, you know, you can, I guess you can smell the popcorn and eat it and, you know. That's it though.
Yeah.
You know, there's really not much else for you, you know.
That makes, so, yeah, that makes sense. I don't think about it that way. I wonder if I would feel like it was, it really makes me want to see how little I'm missing by watching a movie that I think is wonderful, but I know it's kind of BS, and just listen to the whole thing. I don't know if, first of all, I don't know if I could do it, and then it makes me wonder, well, if I couldn't do that, am I paying money to see stuff I really don't give a crap about, you know? You know, because I think you do judge the story in a different way. Obviously, there are different elements, of course, if the story's told to me, but, you know, visually in a way, well, obviously, you know, we got silent films. So if there's a silent film, great. I mean, that's the only way I'm ever going to experience it. But it feels like, you know, if you've got sound, use it.
No, that's exactly right. I listen, and how hard is it to tell a story? I mean, you could put a little bit of story in those CGI films and make them even cooler.
Of course.
I think.
But, yeah.
You know, why bother? Just use all the effects and everything's nice.
In 2012, Stolen Dress Entertainment brought you the feature-length mockumentary Looking Forward, the story of one 24-year-old man's presidential campaign, 12 years in advance of eligibility, and 16 years in advance of a good slogan. Now, in 2016, in anticipation of an historic election season, Stolen Dress Entertainment brings you the sequel, Looking Forward, 2016. For the next 9 months, 14 of the story's central characters will present video blogs, bringing you their side of the story. On the day following the election in November, the strangest, most unorthodox film sequel in history will be completed. Visit lookingforwardmovie.com to see every video as it is posted and to watch the original film for free. Subscribe to the channels you like, retweet the characters, and share your thoughts on the Looking Forward page on Facebook. Looking Forward 2016. One campaign in pieces.
Have you ever, like, participated in, like, a produced audio play or comedy of any kind?
No, sir. Uh-uh. No. Never done it. I would like to. I would like, actually, you know what I'd like to do? Here's what I want to do. I want to be, like, the best friend of a guy in a Hallmark movie. Right? Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be amazing.
So I don't know, but it'd be fun to act. I've not really done it, but you know, I think I could do it. It'd be a goof. You know, I always wanted to play a sighted person, like on the soaps, right?
Uh huh.
And then, you know, all kinds of long shots of me driving and things like this, and, you know, whatever. And then lose my sight and then be, you know, a blind character on a soap. You know? Because they always have sighted people play us. I mean, how about one of us playing us? You know what?
That's not a bad idea. That is not – you make a very strong you make a very strong point. Oh, my God. Sir. That's amazing. Again, I can now I know where your sense of humor comes from, and it's helping me grasp it a little better. Oh my gosh, we got off on a tangent, and what was it? Okay, so anyway, yeah, so again, it was like the idea of not being distracted for an album like this. It is something that I have not done yet, and I know I'm missing out on, but the idea is, like, when I'm listening to this, because I knew I was interviewing you, I was listening to, well, here's the thing, what do I have that is either aiding me or inhibiting me in terms of, like, appreciating this maybe in a different way? And I am, of course, picturing everything that I hear, because I've got a very active imagination. That's not happening for you, but I do want to know, like, what does it do to you? Like, what are you feeling when it's a really rich environment that you're hearing?
Well, I'm captivated by it. You know, I feel like I'm a part of it almost, because it just sounds so good and so clean and big. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, let's talk about the very open and the very close of the album.
Yes.
Right? It opens with, you know, this little chromium switch here, you know, and then things start to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, you get that feeling of the power coming on, and it's sort of you know, coming up and everything, and it's great. And there's all sorts of little things like that. The way it ends with him, you know, running out the house, you know, chasing the ice cream man. you know, it's really nice, and those kind of tricks are really, they're really effective. I love them.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you can use pan and just, you know, make somebody move across, you know, move across the speakers, across your head, it's a very cool little trick. You know, and there's a type of recording that binaural recordings are very cool. I don't know if they've ever done a comedy record in binaural, but they space the mics apart as far apart as the human ears are.
Oh, okay.
And then they can make the sound sort of move way around your head.
Oh, you know, my God, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's a neat trick. There's a YouTube video of a haircut. It's just an audio thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, put on a pair of headphones and check this out, and it'll blow your mind.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, yep.
Holy crap.
And it is. It's a haircut.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think, like, I love that you and I are sitting here, like, I'm excited about the idea of hearing a haircut. But that makes, I guess in my head, I had always assumed somebody must have done that. But you might be right. I'm going to have to do some research in terms of audio comedy to see if somebody has, because I'm getting ready to make my own comedy album. And if somebody else hasn't done it, son of a gun, I'm going to do my best to do it myself. Because that's
good for you. Good for you, man. That's awesome. What are you going to do? What kind of a thing are you going to do?
Well, I've been doing different versions of sketch comedy since I was like 19. My best friend and I, when mp3.com was a thing, that where you could actually get your CDs made and distributed on demand there for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
We did an album of sketches that were, I mean, if I listen back, I'm embarrassed at some of the production, but for the most part, it's like, no, you know what? I had a real good, solid idea what stereo was. I love me some Cheech and Chong. I just wanted shit to pan from left and right, and I wanted it to sound real great. And you know what? For 19, I think I did a great job. I'm really proud of it.
That's fantastic.
They actually used it in one of my buddy's classes to teach, like, hey, here's how you can do Foley on zero budget. We always joke that every sound effect we did was made with celery, because it's just, you know, you got to do it however you can do it. And it's my favorite medium to work in, and just to make people feel like they're in the scene is one of my favorite things of all time.
Well, good for you, man. That's nice. See, I love that. And when people can do that, it's fantastic. So good. I'll be looking for that. I'll be looking for a copy of this.
Do you, are there some tricks, you know, are there like some cheap audio tricks that ever stand out where you're like, well, that's overdone. Is there anything, that's something I don't think about that often.
No, I don't think about that too often either. I just, listen, I, you know, a trick is a trick is a trick, and it's, you know, it's a good one. It works. I
sure.
like it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, modern music today isn't, it's not really in stereo, not the way it used to be.
True.
You know, you go back and you listen to, well, there was a guy by the name of Tom Dowd who was a recording engineer for Atlantic Records, and he made, you know, he cut all the old sides, right, for like the Drifters, for example, or the Coasters, or, you know, Big Joe Turner, and, you know, Aretha Franklin, all this old stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you listen to it, and the way it's recorded is spectacular. It's so big and wide and good. You know, and they don't make records like that anymore. And that sort of breaks my heart, because I do. I like stereo image.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Like, just even the idea of, like, today you might hear simple reverb just as reverb, where back in the day you might have heard reverb originating in one ear and, you know, more distant reverb in the other ear to really make it feel like you're actually in a room with these people.
Exactly right. You do that to a snare drum hit, and it's, you got an incredible sound. And
yeah,
it's
good call.
You know, or like David Bowie's Let's Dance has a great effect where the snare kind of bounces back and forth.
Yes.
And it's great. And Olivia Newton-John had a record called Magic that does the exact same trick. And I feel like that's where Bowie stole it from.
Really? Really?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I hope that's the case.
I don't know. I mean, we'll never know now. But sure. I mean, I feel like he stole that trick right off of her, because it's the exact same. Rabba dabba dabba. You know, going back and forth. Rabba dabba dabba. I'm shaking my head back and forth. And it's, you know.
Let's see, I'm trying to think, like, just myself listening to this album, the bonus here on the Wikipedia article, if you guys are going to look this up on Wikipedia, is at least somebody did, since there are no tracks, they kind of broke it down, into, four or five paragraphs doesn't really entirely do it justice, But I'm just trying to think here in terms of like what's the most involved in terms of environment. And I do feel like just any time we know that we're clicking and there and he's in the room by himself, either muttering to himself, that stuff's pretty heavily produced. Yep.
I also like, I think if you're gonna, like, if you've never heard this before, I think you need to listen to towards the end of side one, where it's the like the beginning of the Porgy, you know, the Howl of the Wolf movie presents High School Madness. You know, listen to that from there on. Listen to that. Hey, groat cakes again. Heavy on a 30 weight, but down, wolf your food, son. Use your entrenching tool. Gee whiz, Adam, just trying to save time. It isn't every day a guy graduates from high school. How many times have I heard that before? Well, you boys, you know, I can go on. I can do the whole thing for you. But, like, from there, I think is a good place to start. If, you know, yeah. And it's, what, about 4 or 5 minutes maybe, and there's a ton of gags in it. And, you know, you get to meet Mudhead, who, you know, is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's such a good character.
10, Mudhead. See, that's another quote right there.
Yeah.
That Louise Wong's got a balcony you can do Shakespeare from.
It's so ridiculous, too, because that is, like, that is just, like, an old, like, that's a Milton Berle gag. Just, oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
But it's funny.
Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great. Like, and the thing is, they can couch these jokes within the sort of like the idea that, oh, somebody else is making this joke. It's not us. It's, you know, it's, I love it.
Yep.
You're still smart if your characters are dumb, or if the fake writers of the fake thing within your universe are dumb. You can still be the smart one.
Yeah, right on. Well done. Very good. Very good.
I'm looking here actually at some, I guess Phil Austin, when they re-released the album in 1987, Phil Austin, he condensed the whole album this way. Dwarf is a story of the five ages of man, and in particular, the five ages of one George Leroy Tirebiter, a man named after a dog. So it's so great that it's just this entire thing about this one character going through this weird evolution, but it's it's not 100% chronological, of course. It just goes in and out and is told through, you know, these different TV shows this guy's watching.
Yep. It's very different. I mean, it's, you know, the first time you hear it, you're not going to get it. You know, it's going to, but we didn't get it either.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad, but you got to listen to it a couple of times. And I promise that you will find things in it that will make you laugh and that you will want to go, wait a minute, did I hear that right? And then you just sit and listen to the whole thing again, you know, and it's a nice thing. We used to, I'm telling you, after school every day, a bunch of us would just hang out and listen to Fireside. That was, you know, that really? Was our afternoon for a long time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's one of the questions I like to ask is, like, did you make friends over comedy, or were these just friends already?
Oh, no, I made friends because of Fireside. And it's one of those funny things where I swear to God, somebody could be mugging you and you could go, oh, well, how many times have I heard that before? Well, you boys find it out amongst yourselves. And they'll stop and go, hey, you're into Fireside too? Hey, good for you, man. You're all right. Get out of here. You
know? It is a crazy cult. I have learned that. It is a wonderful cult of, like, it's funny, like, I feel like nowadays, again, I don't want to sound like an old man, but there are times when things might be quotable, but don't have the same... They don't have the same reach because there's a lot more media out there. Whereas in this, like, you could quote something and it sounds like, oh, no, I'm just quoting a thing that we all enjoy. But it's also, there's this deep understanding that you're communicating to people depending on the quote you pick, I feel like.
Well, that's exactly right. And listen, all the Fireside heads know them all. Because all those guys know all the records backwards and forwards because they've listened to them a million times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really can. You can, you know, you just... I don't know about you, but the chief himself's been taking these for a week. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Here, try some of mine. You know, and people just go crazy. And I found that through my life, you know. I'd crack off a Fireside just, you know, and somebody will just, oh, you know that too. You know, and it's wonderful when that happens.
I wish I could. Okay, so there's a bit in here that stood out as, for whatever reason, was the funniest part to me. And I cannot remember the exact sentence, but somebody says something... Oh, the same sentence is repeated three times, but they intentionally emphasize a different word. And by the
what
time...
are you gonna do, Lieutenant? What are we gonna do, Lieutenant? What are we gonna do, Lieutenant?
Yeah, here we go. Thank you, thank you. For some reason, that was the funniest thing because the first two bits of emphasis they technically work, and then the third one makes no sense. But the joke is we're emphasizing a different word. That is it.
Well, in that same bit is one of my favorites. Hey, Sarge, how long have Pico and Alvarado been out of patrol? since 1400. Jeez, that's 2,000 years.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
You know, all day. I literally know all the records by heart. It's crazy. But, you know, that's how much I love Farsan. And that's how much, you know, they contribute to my life. My life is a joyous comedy. I was going to say funny, but that'd be presumptuous.
Oh, you know what? Sorry. What happened? Uh-oh. Sorry. The Skype is being a real jerk right now, and it's decided to cut you out a little bit. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Right. Give me one second. Why is it... okay. I am not using a camera, so why is it causing me trouble? I'm so sorry. One second here.
That's all right, baby. Don't you listen. It just loosed a little minute, so it's fine.
Let's see.
But it wasn't that funny.
Let's maybe if I just literally put this a little bit closer to my router, is that going to help me at all? Probably not.
Nah, Skype is a little screwy sometimes. It just, it has a mind of its own.
It really
does.
I hear
a lot of radio interviews and even television interviews on Skype, and they're a little choppy and bumpy, but you know, it's better than having a crew out there, I suppose.
That's true. Okay. You're back anyway. We got you back. So, okay. So I apologize. So where the hell were we?
No, I was just saying that, you know, it's, what were we talking about? Pico and Alvarado?
Yes.
But yeah, you know, I don't know. I love those guys. They've contributed a lot to me and a lot to, you know, making me, you know, well, they've contributed to me and to my love of comedy, you know, and to making me a slightly funnier person, but that would be a presumptuous assumption. Another Fireside quote. Another quote from the album. See, I quote it all the time. I really do.
Does you know, it makes me think, and this is one of these, I'm always coming up with stupid experiments, but I would love to sit down with or have people sit down, record themselves reciting as much of one Fireside album as they could, and then cut together that, like, just 30 people doing the same album, but just cut it together with all those people. I feel like that would be, because I think you're right. I think there are people who could just do it. Again, you yourself, you could just do it front to back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a good idea. And if, you know, if you want a little bit, you let me know.
All right, good. No, I'm 100%. You'll be the first person I tell, because this is, oh man, because I wouldn't be the one, but everybody I know who grew up with them, again, same exact thing. They've either got a bit that they know back to forth or an entire album they know back to forth. And I respect that. That's a specific type of nerdiness that I really, really respect.
Well, there's two groups of people that do that. It's the Fireside people are one and the Python people are the other.
That's true. I would be maybe more in the Python group.
Well, I'm going to argue there. I'm going to say, no, it's 50-50 because I mean, the Python heads are a certain type and the Fireside heads are another type. But I think there's a strong group of each out there. I really do.
Oh, sure, they're sure. No, like, I mean, I'm sorry. I meant I'm more the Python only because I grew up with more of them than I did Fireside.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because they had a television show.
That is true. That is
they
true.
They had a television show that was on every week and it was amazing.
Much as Fireside tried to break into TV a few times, which I can't imagine what their idea of TV would have been.
No, me neither. I'd love to know.
It would also be weird if it was like Python in front of an actual studio audience, because I don't know. I don't know if it would work that way.
Well, you got to remember, too, that Python, only part of it was in front of the audience, right? Because all the animation was not. And there were bits that they would do in the studio, too, and just show the audience. So, you know, and Fireside could have done it like that, too. So
that's true. That is true. Man. Yeah. It just makes me there. What do you? I mean, this is like completely just hypothetical, but or it's all conjecture. But what do you think contributes to Fireside not being as recognized? I mean, they're the Pythons of America at the very least, and it's very strange to me that not enough people have heard of them.
No, I agree with that, and I don't quite know why it was such a miss. It might be like Python is more upfront. It's not. I mean, there's some heady things in Python, too, but Fireside, you really have to think. You know, and sometimes people just like to be bashed over the head with a punchline. You know, they don't want to have to go sort of dig for it, you know. I think that might be the part of the reason. And, you know, it's just, it's too, it, I think Firesign is a little bit too quirky for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sort of makes it cool.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, something you have to work for is not for everybody, which is why it took me a while to get into them.
Yep, exactly right. So, but, you know, hey, listen, long live Firesign. I love them forever. I always have and I always will. And, I, you know, they're absolute legends, just comedy legends. And they, you know, but like I said, they still make me laugh even today.
Do you? Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I always ask people, like, when we're getting towards the end of it, we're about to wrap up, is if somebody's going to listen to this album, let's say they haven't heard Firesign, which, you know, might, is more likely that they haven't heard Firesign than they haven't heard Python, why listen to this album first?
Wow. Well, listen, I think this album is a fun ride. I think it's, again, you're not going to get the whole thing right away. I guarantee you this part's, you know, the first couple of minutes are very strange, you know, where there's sort of this mask going on television, you know, and then, like, then you realize that it is on television and somebody's watching it, you know, and it's so, the establish is a little, the establish takes a little long up front, but once it starts going, I think you'll really enjoy the ride, and I think you'll come back to, you know, get the rest of the gags, because there's just more and more. The more you listen, the more you find. That's all. And it's like a little treasure hunt. So I really would. I would recommend listening to this album. It's a great one. And hopefully it will lead you down the road to more Firesign. And, you know, you can start a life of being able to quote odd things. But, hey, listen, you know, you say it to the right people and you'll, you know, find new friends.
You know, that's a really good point, too, is like the idea that, oh, no, this guy's been in the room with you the whole time. You just didn't know. That's kind of like, that's a huge reality shift. I love that. I love
it's
that idea.
Good, right?
Yeah. Gosh. You know.
Yeah.
There are more layers to this than even I was, seeing. But again, I have to do the eyes closed thing. This is happening. This has to happen with all their albums.
Yes, please do. I do. I suggest, you know, you put on a pair of headphones, sit down, maybe get yourself a beer or wine or whatever you like. Something nice. And just have yourself a time with some Firesign Theater. I think you'll really enjoy it.
That's a good idea. Are there any comedy groups that you, whether they were influenced by Firesign or not, but any other groups that maybe in the same vein or people who like Firesign might enjoy?
Boy, what were they called? Like Generation Gap or something?
Oh, Credibility Gap.
Credibility Gap. Yeah.
Love
like
them.
Those guys made some pretty good things, right?
Yeah.
Of course, what else? The comedy groups. I mean, Cheech and Chong had a couple of their records are really good.
Yeah.
You know, like the Big Bamboo is great,
sure.
And Los Cochinos is really good. And even the Wedding Album is great, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then they sort of lost their way a little bit, I thought. But, you know, but I do. That produced comedy is really nice. There's something to it.
It really is. There's a group out there also, because I know, and I was originally kind of wary about the comparison to Firesign, but they're called Super Ego. They're very new. I mean, they've only been around 10 years, but they're wonderful. Their stuff is entirely improv, whereas Firesign stuff was often based off of improv that they then turned into something else.
Right.
But I would at least recommend people give them a listen. I mean, it is, I wouldn't say that they're not the layers that Firesign has. It's not conceptually that, but they do have a lot of fun with environment and making it sound fantastic. And then there's the kind of added, the big difference is that you occasionally will hear the end of the sketch is somebody laughing their ass off. So there's a similar energy to it, even though it's very different than Firesign. So I think people make a mistake to compare them to Firesign, which I've heard sometimes because they're not the same, but they're a group that I would definitely recommend listening to if you want to listen to a newer group that has kind of a similar vibe to it. Vibe is the only way I can describe it. But Super Ego is fun to listen to.
Duly noted, sir. Duly noted.
And very nice guys. They've all done the podcast.
Nice. Very good.
So where can people find you online? What should they keep an eye out for or an ear out for?
Okay, well, listen, we've got some exciting stuff coming up, actually. So you can find me on YouTube. Tommy Edison XP is the one channel. Or you can find me at on the Blind Film Critic channel is the other one. But we haven't done a movie review in quite a little while now. But, you can find me there. You can also find me on Twitter, of course, and Facebook. And I even have an Instagram account where I take photos, which is very interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got some brand new content coming out on March 30th, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be available on YouTube as well as Amazon Prime and Hulu Plus as well.
Oh, awesome.
And we got some neat stuff. I went and did I went to a touch tank and got to touch all sorts of sea creatures that I've never seen
before. Oh, wow.
In my life. You know, at this touch tank in Santa Monica. It's very cool. It's very neat. I got to go to, a place called Picture Car Warehouse out in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see cars that were in movies and stuff that I've never gotten to touch before. It's really neat. We do a thing. There's a sport called fast draw shooting,
mm-hmm.
which is cowboy style shooting, right? It's from a holster and you aim and fire.
Holy shit.
And hit a target. And the object of that was to see if I could not aim and hit, draw, aim, and fire and hit a target in under a second.
Wow.
So we've got that as well as some more of that answering question stuff. I answered one of the most popular questions I think that we've ever gotten. It is the most popular one. And I will just tell you the question. You can find the answer out later. But it's how do you know when to stop wiping? I've had that question all the time, man. And we're actually gonna answer it.
You know what? That's a good question. I wouldn't have thought to ask. That's amazing.
No, I know. But listen, people have been asking that question for as long as I've been on YouTube. So we're finally going to take a pop at it.
I love it.
So March 30th is when all the new stuff comes out. And it'll be fun because it's 90 minutes of never-before-seen stuff. And we put them into sort of longer shows for Amazon Prime and for Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit and watch like a 15-minute episode.
That's great.
Right? Yeah. Or you can just, you know, if you're out of the country or, you know, not in the U.S. or Canada or the U.K., wherever this stuff is going to be, you know, of course, we're still going to put everything out on YouTube. You know, every couple of weeks, there'll be a brand new piece. So it's, you know, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun. And I just love YouTube's been so good to us. So, you know, we got to keep this stuff up there, too. So big fun coming on March 30th.
Thank you so much for doing this. This has been just so much fun.
No, let's do it. It's been great. I mean, it's hardly like an interview, you know, it's just like chatting with somebody. So it's been great and you've been fantastic.
Well, thank you so much. You're welcome to do it anytime you like. If you want to talk about another album, can be another Firesign album, can be whatever. And maybe sometime if you're in LA, maybe we can do one in person because that would also be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'd be great fun. Well, I'm going to be out there for we're actually in Hollywood Web Fest next weekend. So,
oh, awesome!
I'll be out there. Yeah, and then I'll be back for VidCon back in June. I'm actually I'm doing a speaking at VidCon, so that'll
awesome.
Be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm a feature creator, so it's going to be fun. So you know, maybe on that trip we'll do something in person.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Well, thank
that'll
you.
Be in June, so we'll see if we can work out. Okay.
Yeah. This has been so much fun. I'm glad I got to revisit this album. Thank you for being here. Thank everybody for listening. And as always, have a good thing.
Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, Twitter @comedyonvinyl, and find everything else at comedyonvinyl.com. Why listen to other podcasts that sound like this?
Today on the Pistache Cast, we're going to be talking about the pistachio's closest cousin, the mango.
When you could be listening to this.
Do you think there's ever been a moment on the show one of them accidentally reveals there's a body in his trunk? Like, he's just so enthused to talk about cars. Like, it's an amazing car. Like, I've hid 12 bodies in there.
You can take them down. You can take them down to the pier. No one will even know.
Listen to the Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour podcast every Monday at www.danandjay.com.